Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC and New Jersey. Are you ready to vote? Have you voted early already with your absentee ballot? Are you planning to go in person for the New Jersey primary next Tuesday? New York got through its pandemic primary last week and made some history with some of the apparent congressional nominees. New Jersey, how about you? We'll talk about some of the choices in the Garden State, North Jersey and South Jersey, touch on a voter fraud issue in a recent Paterson City Council race that's making national news this week, and any implications beyond the one contest, probably not so much, but a little bit that's worth talking about. There's all that. There's that little thing called the presidential primary, too, in New Jersey now. And joining me are WNYC New Jersey editor Nancy Solomon and New Jersey reporter Karen Yee, who is mostly covering one of the primary contests now between Democratic Congressman Josh Gottheimer and a challenger running to his left, R.T. Krybek. That's the 5th Congressional District, parts of Bergen, Sussex, Warren, and Passaic counties that Gottheimer won in 2016 from longtime Republican conservative Representative Scott Garrett. So that's now in play within the Democratic Party. Hi, Nancy. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
And New Jersey listeners, any question or comment about anything on your ballot, congressional or the presidential primary, or how to vote? Is the ballot itself confusing or easy to understand? Anything related to the primary? 646-435-7280. 646-435-7280. Karen, want to start with Josh Gottheimer being challenged by R.T. Krybek?
Sure. So what's interesting about R.T. Krybek is that she actually campaigned for Josh Gottheimer in 2016 and
for
in 2018. And a lot
for
of her supporters actually also were big supporters of Gottheimer. They hosted him in their living room. They campaigned for him, knocked on doors for him. So R.T. says that what really sort of triggered her decision to run is his voting record. And in particular, she points to this one border spending bill where Gottheimer whipped up votes to sort of squash a proposal by more liberal members of the House that would have added more protection for migrant children. And so she says that he doesn't really represent the values of the party. And she sort of felt that that was a betrayal of her values. And then that's sort of the moment when she decided to run. And a lot of her supporters point to this moment as well. And if you ask Gottheimer about this vote, he sort of looks at it another way. And he says, look, I have to get things done for my district, and sometimes you have to compromise, and sometimes you have to work across the aisle. So RT is, she is a neuroscientist, she is a councilwoman in Glen Rock, she's an immigrant, and a mother of two. She's been endorsed by Bernie Sanders and Representative Ayanna Pressley as well.
Here's just a snippet of audio from each. Listeners, just so you can hear their voices, first is 30 seconds of Congressman Gottheimer.
Since I took office, I've been committed to helping protect seniors and other vulnerable communities from fraud and to protect their financial well-being. Like many of my colleagues, constituents in my district are feeling the economic pain caused by the ongoing pandemic. Just this week, in fact, a constituent of mine, Patricia from Wantage, New Jersey, reached out to me to ask, what can we do as policymakers to help protect people's credit during this crisis? I'm proud that we're able to provide Americans with debt and credit relief as part of the Bipartisan CARES Act, protecting homeowners in forbearance and federal student loan borrowers.
So that was Josh Gottheimer on the House floor last week. Here's 30 seconds of R.T. Krybek from a town hall just yesterday.
In the middle of a pandemic, as we're trying to recover, as we're trying to get back to a new normal, who better than a scientist to lead us? And I think that resonates with everybody across the board. And frankly, I'm going to win. I'm going to win because I am fighting for the people. The policies that we're fighting for are popular policies, and this is what people want.
Karen, and our reporter Karen Yee and our New Jersey editor Nancy Solomon with us on New Jersey primary races. Do those clips suggest any larger themes or conversations beyond what you already described?
Yeah, I think Archie has really sort of pushed a lot of what progressives across the country are asking for. I mean, she supports Medicare for All and the Green New Deal. I mean, as a neuroscientist as well, she's sort of pushing this idea that, you know, we need to go back to and rely on science and facts and data, and particularly during this pandemic. That's really what she's sort of pushed in the last few weeks around COVID-19 as well. And for Josh, you know, again, I think he's sort of this, his big thing is being able to, some sort of his big successes that he's touted is being able to claw back federal dollars for the district and getting, being able to get these wins for his constituents. And his supporters say, look, you know, he may not be a purist, he may not be 100% aligned with what we want, but at least we get something, right? At least we get a slice of that bread.
And listeners, your New Jersey primary questions or comments at 646-435-7280. We'll get to them in a minute. 646-435-7280, or tweet at Brian Lehrer. Nancy Solomon, let's go on to incumbent Congressman Albio Ceres being challenged by Hector Oseguera. That's in the 8th Congressional District, and for people who don't know, that's just outside the city in parts of Hudson, Essex, and Bergen counties, Hoboken and Jersey City, Elizabeth, the Port of Newark, the Statue of Liberty is in that district, Ceres' website proudly points out, areas north of Newark as well, including Newark Airport. Ceres has been in office for 14 years. Nancy, can you tell us about this race?
Yeah, sure. It's this is one of the most interesting primary races in the state because Ceres really hasn't had a primary challenger since he took office and went to Congress in 2006. He inherited Bob Menendez's seat, and he's really, you know, never faced any kind of challenge. And Oseguera is really nipping at his heels, and it, you know, our colleague Matt Katz noted something really funny the other day where he said that he tweeted that Ceres had tweeted something on June 20th, and it was the first time he had tweeted since Election Day in 2012.
Wow.
So that's 8 years and four election cycles ago. So he's really having to come out and campaign in a way that he hasn't had to. And, you know, and so, Oseguera is someone who worked on AOC's campaign in the Queens, which of course is legendary now for unseating the machine candidate.
Right.
And here you have a very, very similar fight. It's the machine guy up against an insurgent. But there are a couple of really interesting twists. One of them is that through a couple of really twists of fate and luck, Oseguera ended up with the coveted county line, meaning the endorsed line that people are so, when if you're a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat, that's the line you vote. You see Biden at the top, you follow it down. It's, you know, Cory Booker, it's all the names you know. And if you're not familiar with some of the names, you vote for them anyway. And this is the way a lot of New Jerseyans vote. And he ended up on that line instead of Ceres. So between voting by mail and him getting the line, this is a real race where we could see change here.
And that's a thing with the New Jersey ballot design, right? And that goes for any race where that positioning of, I guess, that line or that first column, if that's the way it's displayed, is an advantage for people. So for anybody who wants to look beyond that in any race, just an indication that it's not as simple in a Democratic primary as going down from the name Joe Biden, if he's your candidate, and tick, 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 because the other lines are not Republicans and whatever, right? So the ballot design matters in New Jersey.
Oh, it's huge. It's everything. It's not everything, but it's huge. And I mean, I think studies have shown that in a statewide election for a governor or a senator in a primary, it's worth about 250,000 votes.
Yeah.
So that's statewide, of course, and we're talking about congressional districts here. But no, it's very, very important because and there are so many aspects of it in terms of which direction the line goes, who's on the line. You know, we're going to talk also this morning about Congressional District 2, where in a challenger to the machine actually won the endorsement in the biggest county in the congressional district. This is and so Cory Booker, one of the biggest names on the line, actually took himself off the line to give the machine an advantage with their candidate. So there's crazy stuff that goes on with the ballot. And so there are two important things here. One is that, you know, the Oseguera race is part of a statewide campaign to fight the Democratic Party machine in New Jersey, and to force the party more progressive. And the other thing going on is this 100% vote by mail election because of the pandemic. And both of those things are really changing up the status quo, because what's being predicted is that we're going to see a lot more people voting in the primary because their ballot came to them automatically at home. Every single voter hopefully got one, and all you got to do is fill it out and send it back, and you have more time to think about it and look at it and fill it out. When you get in the machine box, you feel a certain amount of pressure, like I got to go, make my choices and let the next person have it. So this is really going to change up the election this year, I think.
You said 100% mail-in. Are they not having in-person voting next Tuesday, just to be clear?
They do have in-person voting. It's for people who, for various reasons, cannot mail in their ballot, but it is a paper provisional ballot. It is not a machine vote.
But you can go to your normal polling place, or it's going to be very limited?
Very limited polling places, I believe one per municipality. And maybe, I'm sorry, I'm not sure what they're doing with the bigger cities, but it's definitely a pared down number of polling places.
Right. Okay, good to know. And here, just so people can hear their voices, is a small snippet of audio of each of these candidates. And first we'll hear 30 seconds of the incumbent, Albie Osiris. This is on the House floor just yesterday in support of a bill known as HR2, that's an infrastructure bill that would help fund the Gateway Tunnel project between New Jersey and New York.
I am proud to say that this bill's provision on projects of national and regional significance is a victory for the Gateway project. New Jersey knows how important it is to get the project done. The whole region knows how important the project is to its economy. This bill puts $9 billion into that pot. The bill provides money for clean energy investments to keep our air clean, money for resiliency projects to protect us from stronger storm, and more money for public transit to keep cars off the road.
And here's 30 seconds of Hector Oseguera talking yesterday on Hot 97's Ebro in the Morning show.
One of my big issues is affordable housing. When he was the mayor of West New York, he gave a 30-year tax break to the developers on the waterfront. Some people might call that corruption and say that he sold the waterfront to the developers so that now the people who live up on the cliff of West New York, the poor Hispanic people, are subsidizing or funding this very luxurious waterfront for very wealthy people.
So, Nancy, anything from those two clips that suggests any campaign themes or issues beyond what you talked about?
I think to me, what really strikes me is that you hear sort of the older generation versus the younger generation, because there isn't a lot of, I mean, you know, Democrats want Gateway, they want affordable housing. I'm not hearing issue differences so much as generational differences. And I think, you know, that's one of the things going on in the state, and it's not just in this race, but this race for sure, is that young Democrats and activists are taking aim at incumbents who really are there by acclamation every 2 years, and they don't really have to come back to the voters and kind of explain what they've been up to. And Syriza is a guy who's kept a very, very low profile, and, you know, has not really, you know, like, is it, you know, what is he doing to help the people of his district? I'm not making a judgment about him, but I'm saying that's kind of the question is that these guys, they're taking aim at whether or not the incumbent is really there fighting for them.
Let's take a phone call. And my guests are WNYC New Jersey editor Nancy Solomon and New Jersey reporter Karen Yee. And Steve in Jersey City, that's the same district we've just been talking about, a former Hudson County commissioner, he says, on something in the mail-in ballot system. Steve, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning. My point I was going to make is that all of the mail-ins are self-certified by the voter via signature. And the ballot can be rejected if a commissioner, an elections commissioner, so decides that they'll say, oh, this signature does not match the signature on file. But there's really no training. These are not signature analysis experts. And my concern is too many ballots get rejected on a whim or on a, you know, somebody guesses the signature doesn't match. So it just seems like a little bit too arbitrary. And if we're going to move to greater reliance on mail-in ballots, we should do a better job of the system. I'm aware other municipalities or other states use barcode systems or things like that to verify the voter who is who they say they are. So that's just my point, that my concern is that we need to do a better job with the mail-in ballots, and criticisms of them are somewhat warranted because it's kind of an antiquated system.
Have you, Steve, since you're interested in potential voter fraud, looked at the situation in Patterson at all and have anything to say about that?
No, I just heard you mention it this morning. I'm not aware of it.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for pointing that out. Karen Yee, any reaction to the issue that Steve is raising about signature verification?
Yeah, I that's a valid concern. I haven't heard that. I don't know. Nancy, I know Nancy's been listening a little bit more closely. I don't know if you have heard that concern, Nancy.
Sure, let me jump in. So Steve is right. It was a big problem in the May 12th election, which we had small municipal elections in not all over the state, but in parts of the state on May 12th, and that was the first test of the vote by mail system. And there were a lot of problems. About 10% of all ballots were rejected because of the signature match issue. So the poll worker is looking at the signature on the envelope of the ballot and comparing it to the voter registration card. And so the Institute for Social Justice in Newark and the League of Women Voters sued the state and sued for emergency relief in time for this July 7th primary. And they have a settlement that will affect the July 7th primary. And then they've got a sort of an agreement to fine tune it and work on it more after the primary. But the emergency agreement is that the poll worker now has to actually call the voter and verify that they sent in the ballot if they're before rejecting their signature. So hopefully that is going to take that 10% number way down.
Here's what a couple of listeners are saying is a correction on where Syriza and Oseguera appear on the ballot. A couple of listeners are chiming in with this. Let's see if they're right. Ruby in Hoboken, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling, Ruby.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. I just wanted to point out that Hector Oseguera is not in a line on the ballot with Biden and Booker. He's in a separate line. I think what might have been confused is that normally the party line gets column A, so they can do their branding about column A all the way. And Hector is in column A in Hudson County, which is one of the counties in New Jersey 08. But he is not in a column with Biden and Booker. He's on a separate line.
All right. Thank you for that. Just so people know where to look. We have a few more minutes left with Nancy Solomon and Karen Yee. Quick reminder that we have an online voter's guide to the New Jersey primary. You can't get all your information about these races from a Brian Lehrer Show segment, or even two. We will be doing a second one. But you should go to wnyc.org/voter guide if you want to see the New Jersey primary voter guide online in much more detail, wnyc.org/voter guide. But Nancy, take us to South Jersey. You've done such amazing work covering the Norcross machine down there. And I see two South Jersey congressional primaries are being reported on as no holds barred by NJ Spotlight in the 2nd and 3rd districts. Where would you like to start?
Let's talk about the 2nd, which is the one I know much more about. So this is the very southernmost part of New Jersey, from Atlantic City south to Cape May. And the fight going on there, so this is the district, the seats held by Jeff Van Drew. Jeff Van Drew was a machine candidate whose political career was helped all along the way by the George Norcross machine. Norcross is sort of the legendary insurance executive who runs an incredibly tight ship in all of South Jersey. Norcross endorsed Jeff Van Drew in 2018. It was an open seat. The Frank Lobiondo had retired after the Trump election, and George Norcross endorsed Jeff Van Drew before Jeff Van Drew announced that he was running. So that gives you an idea of like the power of the machine and who's making these decisions.
Right.
So this year, Jeff Van Drew becomes a Republican in over the impeachment vote in December, national attention. And the same day as the impeachment vote, Bridget Callahan Harrison, a Montclair State political science professor, someone who's been on our air as a political analyst many, many times.
Jumps
into the race and is endorsed the very next day by 6 leading members of the machine, not Norcross personally, but Senate President Steve Sweeney and other South Jersey Democrats who are definitely part of the South Jersey machine. So she becomes anointed very quickly because, you know, you might want to wait and see who else is running is sort of my thinking about it, but she becomes the machine candidate. And so now along comes Amy Kennedy. Amy Kennedy is married to Patrick Kennedy, son of Ted Kennedy, and they live in down in the shore in South Jersey. Amy Kennedy's a local girl, just like Bridget Callahan Harrison is. They both grew up not that far from each other on the in South Jersey, and she announces that she's going to run. And so here you have the Kennedy name, and you have sort of, she's got a lot of connections in the community, especially in Atlantic County, which is 40% of the district. So this has become a proxy war in the fight going on in South Jersey between progressive activists across all like small local towns and statewide organizations. You know, there's been a concerted fight both to reform the ballot and fight the machine. And the machine is tied up in how the ballot gets laid out. So Amy Kennedy becomes the candidate of the progressives, even though she's definitely much more mainstream. She's not a Hector Oseguera. She's not she's not of the left wing of the of the Democratic Party, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. The progressives have all come behind her because they see that she could actually win, and that would be, a blow to the machine. So that's what that race has become about. As much as maybe the two candidates, and there are three other men in the race who haven't gotten quite as much traction. They're not raising as much money. They don't have the grassroots kind of on the ground support, but so this race has become about this. Even if the two candidates, Amy Kennedy and Bridget Callahan Harrison, might not have wanted to be running a proxy war against the machine, but that's kind of what's happening down there, and it's going to be super interesting. Amy Kennedy has a shot at winning this district because she won the line in Atlantic County, which is her home base, and she won it because that's one of the few county Democratic committees that actually holds a in-person convention with a secret ballot. Many other endorsements are decided largely behind closed doors. So she won in Atlantic County, and Atlantic County, where she now has the party's, you know, column A line, that is, that's about 40% of the district. So she's got a decent chance down there.
Karen Yee, before you go, anything to say about the presidential race? There is a presidential primary. We know Biden has clinched the nomination. He's won enough delegates in previous primaries. But does the heat of the contest in the district that you're covering between Kreibich and the incumbent Gottheimer indicate that there's going to be a big turnout for Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren or Cory Booker, who I think is still on the ballot technically, or anybody by New Jerseyans who want to come and make a statement, even just for statement's sake?
I think, you know, I spoke to a lot of progressives earlier in the year, and they were sort of split on who to rally behind. I didn't really get a consensus, even among Kreibich supporters. So I'm not sure. I mean, I think we'll wait and see. I don't know how that calculus has changed with everything going on and sort of the conversations that we're having now. But I know that even among R.D. Kreibich supporters, even sort of this debate between purism, purists, and being pragmatic, a lot of them were saying we'd vote for Gottheimer, right, if he wins the primary. So mm-hmm. So maybe that same sentiment will be applied in the presidential race.
And Nancy, I don't know if you've covered it, but anything on this mail-in ballot fraud case that's in the news? Just yesterday morning, a judge barred a Patterson City Councilman-elect, Alex Mendez, from taking office for now. The state attorney general, Gurbir Graywal, has charged Mendez with election fraud, including handling fraudulent voter registration forms for someone he allegedly knew was ineligible to vote in the district. I gather this totals about 1,000 ballots that are in question. You know the National Republicans are going to make a thing of this. In fact, there's already a National Angle Washington Post article on it asking, what does this suggest for November? You know, and saying, not as much as people are going to say it does, but not nothing. So have you looked at this yet?
Yeah, a little bit. Going to about the national narrative and how that's playing out. Donald Trump, in fact, tweeted about Patterson, although he did spell the city's name wrong. And he got the facts. Yes. And he got the facts wrong because he said, I think it was, you know, 19% of the votes were fraudulent. And the 19% figures wrong. It's more like 3 or 4%. There were, you know, other problems with the mail-in ballot in May, some of them having to do with the post office, some of them having to do with these signatures we're talking about that account for most of that percentage. So, but the fraud case, it's worrying. I mean, you know, everybody's got a ballot, and if you have bad actors who are collecting those ballots, because all of this stems, the fraudulent case, it stems from the fact that there is a legal mechanism for people to become a bearer of your ballot and pick up your ballot and deliver it. And so that's what most of this is surrounding. And so a lot of those ballots just plain old disappeared. Some of them got filled out by the bearer of the ballot instead of the voter. Four men have been charged, and one of them was a sitting city councilman, as you mentioned. The other one won the election to city council in this race, and then two other associates. So, it's concerning that we're doing this thing that there's been mail-in balloting, but not on this scale before in New Jersey, and So it is worrying that we could see shenanigans and hanky-panky, but it is a pretty limited case, and now there's obviously a lot more attention on it, so which daylight always helps.
WNYC New Jersey editor Nancy Solomon, New Jersey reporter Karen Yee. Listeners, don't forget our New Jersey primary voter guide at WNYC.org/voter guide. Nancy, Karen, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.